Tensions are growing over European military interventions in Mali. France and Germany consider withdrawing troops after the country's junta ordered Danish soldiers to leave. So who will fill the security void? This is Inside Story. Hello there and welcome to the programme. I'm Nick Clark. A decade of European military interventions in Mali is starting to unravel. Last week, the military government in Bamako ordered Danish soldiers to leave immediately. Now it's expelled the French ambassador to Mali after what the junta called hostile and outrageous comments by France's foreign minister. Jean-Yves Le Drian said the military junta that took power after two coups was illegitimate and out of control. And he criticised the presence of Russian private military contractors from the Wagner Group. Le Drian accused the mercenaries of exploiting Mali's resources in exchange for protecting the junta. Here's some of what he said.
Our will is intact. It's not one event of irresponsibility. I repeat my words. Due to the illegitimacy of the coup d'etat government that will halt our fight against terrorism, Mali is so isolated today that they only have one partner, the mercenaries of the Wagner Group. That's all they can find. The only partner today of Mali is Wagner. Everyone else wants Mali to return to democracy and fight against terrorism.
Well, Le Drian says that France is holding talks with European and African partners on whether to stay in Mali. Germany's commitment is also in doubt. In a newspaper interview, its foreign minister asked whether the conditions for a successful military mission are still in place, but the army is staying put for now.
Achieving our goals is only possible in a very limited way. We welcome the United Nations support for all nations which are active in Mali and the effort to call on Mali's interim government to reinstall the original status. Should that not work, we obviously need to re-evaluate, but until then, we will remain on standby. So in direct response to the question, there are no concrete troop withdrawal plans yet.
All right, let's take a look at how we got here. Back in 2012, Tuareg separatists took over large parts of northern Mali. Al-Qaeda and ISIL-linked fighters also entered the region. In January 2013, former colonial power France sent in troops to remove the groups. But after struggling for 9 years, France announced it would end its operation early in 2022. Recently deployed Danish soldiers in Mali have been asked to leave immediately. The transitional government said their arrival was never approved. Denmark says they were invited. Sweden is also part of the French operation and announced its troops will leave in March. In Germany, members of parliament have questioned the presence of its soldiers in Mali and where they are part of the UN peacekeeping mission MINUSMA. All right, let's introduce our panel in Brussels. Fabrice Potier, Chief Strategy Officer at Rasmussen Global. In Rabat, Nufal Aboud, who's Executive Director of the Nordic Centre for Conflict Transformation. And in Accra, Chukwumeka Eze, Executive Director of the West Africa Network for Peace Building. A warm welcome to all of you, gents. Chukwumeka, I'd like to start with you. This expulsion of the French ambassador, what do you make of it?
Well, it depends on who you're speaking to and how they want to contextualize the issues regarding the expulsion. Some people in Mali have argued that it is freedom at last for the Malians and the Malian government, because since after the independence, as it were, from the French colonial masters, Mali is assumed not have been independent at all with regards to the kind of influence, whether the political sphere or the economic sphere, that the French government continue to have. However, given the huge operations of France in Mali, there seem to be in the short term and even on the long term, some kind of security vacuum, which is likely to be created. This could, in my opinion, potentially create space for the terrorists and armed groups to strengthen and extend their geographical locations in not just the country, but even in other spaces in the Sahel region. Of course, the other thing to look at is how France will take a look at that and how that will potentially, as it were, have consequences on regional security coordination in the fight against insurgencies and which could also affect Denmark's role in France. And that's not even going to talk about the economic impact, because at a point when Mali is facing these kind of insurgencies, which is more compounded even with the COVID pandemic, they are also looking at how to lose one of its major partners, which is France. So that may even further create serious instability and economic hardship within the country.
Okay. Nouvel Aboud, the timeline that I just read out is quite interesting, isn't it? It's quite telling. Because in 10 years, the French have failed to eradicate the threat from insurgents. The military have taken over. Russian mercenaries are moving in. And the situation, well, you could say it's not got any better. It's got worse.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very interesting components that are happening in Mali. One of them is now we're looking at the French and the German reassessing their presence in the country. What it means to me is that, first of all, they're looking into some legal basis of their presence in the country. And the second thing is also the way the reaction from the Malian government, from the military, shows that the military is also looking for some legal basis to renegotiate the presence of European forces in the country. And they even mentioned something in the statement that was in a national TV, that was shared in national TV. They were speaking about how France and the statements from France actually violate the development of friendly relations between nations, which is within the framework of international law. But also what is important is the reaction of France before that, what they're trying to Europeanize the military presence in Mali. And what is happening? It was, you know, first on the intention of decrease the presence within the Barakhane operation, but also push forward towards the Takuba task force, which many European countries are in it. What now France is trying to do is they're going to need to talk and speak to other European countries, because both at the legal framework is that both Barakhane, their presence and presence of other European countries in the country have specific goals. One is not only security, which is doing well at all, but also in terms of nation building in northern Mali, which we haven't seen any results from that, and also in terms of the political structure, and also in terms of development, which actually mounted the frustration of people in Mali. Already, the failure in fulfilling the goals of their presence and agreement, military agreements with the government of Mali, is already a legal ground for renegotiating the
all right,
the term. Let's
examine the European mission a little bit more. Fabrice Potier. So Denmark's troops ordered out, Germany reconsidering its position, so too France. What do you make of the future of European intervention in the Sahel?
Well, not bright, for the simple reason that France, like the United States used to be in Afghanistan, France is operating as the framework nation in the Mali operation. Therefore, if France were to withdraw, and not just to reduce, but to withdraw its forces, the other European contributors will not be able to sustain their presence there. So I think this is where it comes to not so much a military question, but a political one. And just to get the record straight from what I've heard from the two previous speakers, we are dealing here with a government in Bamako who is illegitimate, who has taken power by force, who has not been elected, and who is actually partnering with not a private security company, but a mercenary group, which has a track record of human rights abuse, of actually predation over natural mineral resources.
So, okay, so we're going to come on to that. That's, you're talking
really
about
where the problem is. Yes,
yeah, you're talking about the involvement of Russian mercenaries. I'm going to come into that in just a second. Yeah. But first, sure. Just what happens, do you think, if there is a wholesale pullout? I mean, we just heard that potentially there's going to be this security void, which could be incredibly dangerous. But, yeah, but just how bad could that be, and what would happen?
Well, first, it depends how you define security void, because I think the one option that is being discussed was discussed before this political crisis was a very light footprint, quick reaction, basically pure counterterrorism capacity to act quickly from bases, possibly even outside Mali, to strike at terrorist groups. A bit what actually Joe Biden wanted to do years ago in Afghanistan. So I think then it all depends, and this is what the previous speaker was saying, on what the authorities in Bamako will be willing to accommodate to have that, and also whether Paris will be willing to work towards that kind of formula. So I think security vacuum is definitely the option everybody should and will want to avoid.
So then we come to the question, Chukwuemeka, that should the French and should the European troops stay there?
Well, I think, again, it depends on the mandate of on the policies of the EU. If you look at it on one part...
Surely it just depends on the security situation on the ground and how dangerous that's going to be for,
yes, that's what
for the country,
to,
for the people, and in the region and internationally.
Yes, that's what I'm coming to. Because okay, if you continue to say because it is an illegitimate government, which is the truth, and that your policy does not allow you to continue to engage an illegitimate government, especially when they have been suspended by even the Economic Community of West African States, then you may be right. But if you also look at it on the implication, on the wider implication of the spread of the insurgents on the, not just on the Sahel region, but how that will also destabilize the entire West African region with a lot of implication for also the European states, then you may have made a grievous mistake of an exit without plan, and which may even now further complicate and compound the entire security system that is already established and which is also becoming a restraint factor for the insurgents. So what that also means is that those countries that surround Mali, especially the Sahel region, will begin to experience an increase on insurgencies, especially given the fact that Burkina Faso is already under a military regime, Guinea is already under a military regime. There is also a lot of street talks about the likelihood of even Cote d'Ivoire or Togo also being in the same situation very soon. So nobody knows the ripple effect of the withdrawal, this sudden withdrawal, as it were, just because of the action of the junta.
Okay, let's bring in Nufal. I'll come back to you in a sec, but let's bring in Nufal on this. Fabrice just mentioned Afghanistan. There is that scenario, isn't there? You know, because you pour, as we've seen in Afghanistan, you pour as much as you like into the region, but you just keep accumulating trouble, and then the extraction can be just as difficult, if not worse.
Mali is a little bit special case. Yes, for every country there is a case. Perhaps you can compare a little bit Mali also with Myanmar, with some differences. But what I would like to see here is to link one of the elements that we are not talking about a lot. You know, we're talking about a context in which minerals found in Mali are becoming more and more important, to many other countries. And an example of that is the Chinese-Australian venture that was announced in January 4th, by which they mentioned that they will be exploiting, and they made a final investment decision in Mali to be exploring one of the largest lithium mine perhaps in the world. And we know the lithium carbon is actually increased for last year for 500%. And I think that there is some kind of deal behind the scenes, and I think that that is why the generals actually decided that it was worth to stick around for a while, because the decision for the generals to extend the election until 5 years from the time when they've been in power is a little bit too much. It's completely different in what's happening in other worlds. I think I don't see that there will be a security void in terms, but I think that there will be the Chinese and the Australian that will be coming in as a replacement or some kind of deal. It will be done with the Europeans.
Yeah, and Fabrice, which brings us back to the point that you raised a little bit earlier about the Russian mercenaries being in there, so this concept of international involvement within Mali. And we have these Russian mercenaries, the Wagner Group, and the Europeans saying, of course, that this is incompatible with their mission.
Clearly. I mean, this group has generated already enough negative news stories in Libya, but also in Syria and in Central African Republic. And I think what they are clearly after is what the previous speaker was mentioning, securing key strategic resources, predating on these resources. So they are not about protecting the Malian population. They might provide close protection to the government players, but this is, I don't know how long they can sustain that, because it's not clear whether the current illegitimate government can hold power without really assuring some sort of modicum of security to its own population.
So is it just about the getting a piece, a slice of the mineral action, if you like, but I suppose also the Russians would potentially expect support for its positions, its multilateral positions?
Yes, I think it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, it provides economic, commercial opportunities for Russian companies. And at the same time, it's part of Russia's defense diplomacy, which is using its undeclared or declared military presence to assert its role on the diplomatic scene. And now, obviously, like in Libya, now in Mali, you have to count with Russia. And if you want to settle or come to a solution, you will have to have some sort of dialogue with Russia. So it's obviously the means are pretty controversial and disputable, but it's true that here Putin achieved his goal of going where the gaps are and being present there and then gaining a seat at the table.
Chukwuemeka Mecca, one senior advisor to President Macron said that the problem centers, as you've alluded to, as you've all alluded to, the Malian junta breaking its commitment to hold elections in February and then this five-year thing. And he said that trying to make all this seem like a fight between Mali and the old colonial power is a pretty crude trap that we won't fall into. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's not just the position of France. ECOWAS was very clear from the one that its protocol on democracy and good governance does not allow Mali to continue sustaining the junta. And they had a roadmap, which they were supposed to respect. And they brought all kinds of issues. And this has become now making West Africa, as you would already begin to see, a contestation of the global powers, whether it is the US, the France, the UK, the China, the Russia, Turkey, the Gulf states, and name them, for strategic reasons. You know, so the presence of Russia is increasing this contestation. You know, so if you reflect on what also happened in Burkina Faso, as soon as the coup d'etat took place, they called for Russia, you know, to be their friend. So this has ripple effects on governance, stability and security in the region, also given the potential consequences on armed race and possible arming of terrorists and armed groups to destabilize the region. So it will also even weaken the regional economic community in terms of its influence and role within the region. And this has its own effects.
And Nufal, this continual referral to the colonial past, it's clear that it's left a deep scar. But in a sense, that the French are between a rock and a hard place, because they're damned if they stay and they're damned if they leave.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative of the colon, you know, kicking out the colonial power is a sentimental discourse that is used now by the military. In fact, there are other colonial powers that are still present who are colonizing, you know, Africa in general, but it is a new colonialism as well by the exploitation of the richness of the country and the wealth of the country for very specific reasons. I would like also to mention, you know, that we don't talk about it a lot within the context in which France also has tensed relations with the key country, which is actually bordering Mali, which is Algeria. And some of the questions on how Algeria is increasing the collaboration with Putin and with Russia, and how that actually has an impact or influence within the deployment of the Russian fighters inside Mali. The French intelligence says that there is about 450,000 Russian fighters and mercenaries in the country. Some of the officials, security officials in Mali, they mentioned that these Wagner people are very efficient and they can clean out the whole northern Mali within 6 months, which is very, very ambitious. So some of the questions, very, very important questions in to what extent this idea of non-interference in a country's affair is actually true, especially with the key neighboring countries to Mali, such as Algeria, within the framework of the same condition of Mali tension with France, a colonial power, and Algeria's tension with France using the discourse of colonialism, and to what extent that actually facilitates the infiltration and the enabling of the Russian fighters to be present in Mali.
Fabrice, we're just running a bit short of time, but I do want to come up with the, talk about the accountability of the current Malian government, because the thing is, you have French troops, you have American intelligence gathering, you have a 15,000 UN force, and the Malian government is barely in control beyond its major cities. How would they expect to do any better without outside assistance, you wonder?
Well, that's the question, and this is why it's important not to get the wrong end of the problem. The problem is not so much France and its European international partners, but it's a government that does not have a plan forward, that clearly is just about living the day after tomorrow with the protection of Russian mercenaries. And I think that this is really the sad kind of outcome of almost 10 years of presence by France and its partners. But let me just make a point on that. This is the conundrum, and this is the kind of Afghanistan conundrum. That means France came with the best intention at the invitation of the local authorities to prevent a complete collapse of the Malian state and government against jihadist groups. But with years of presence and so on, even though the best intention, France also became de facto part of the problem. And even though it's not there as a colonial power, I think the colonial actors are much more the Wagner group than anyone else, it is now increasingly perceived and presented as part of this problem. And this is exactly what we saw in Afghanistan, where the international coalition came to solve a specific problem, tried to build a real Afghan government. And at the end, we're seen as much part of the problem as other issues in the country. So this is the risk of foreign intervention, and we are paying the cost now.
Chukwue Mecca, do you think there's any way out of this? Do you think there will be a way for the Europeans to maintain their mission in Mali, given all the problems that we've been analysing and assessing, the Russian mercenaries, the illegitimate government, as you call it?
Clearly, Mali lacks the capacity to address the multidimensional security challenges facing the country. And therefore, moving out of France or the EU under this circumstance will not really solve the problem. I think, rather, France should continue to engage with ECOWAS. It should be a gradual process through cooperation and dialogue in order to tap into the opportunities that the French or the EU provide to enhance some level of resilience of the country as against the growing insecurity in the country and the region. So I think that there should be honest conversation between EU on one hand and then ECOWAS and perhaps African Union on the other part. And even if it means involving the UN system to see how this can be better handled even under the circumstance.
All right, gents, we'll have to leave it there. We've run out of time. Chukwue Mecca, it's great to have you with us. Thanks very much indeed. Fabrice Poitier and Nufal Aboud, thanks very much indeed. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see this program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join in the conversation on Twitter. Our handle for that is @AJInsideStory. From me, Nick Clark, and the whole team here, it is goodbye for now.